Good morning. Today's daf in Chulin, Kuf Mem Beis. We are in Kuf Mem Aleph on Mem Beis. We are a little less than halfway down the Amud. The Gemara asked some basic questions regarding the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. It's anyway, the mother bird has been the topic of discussion in the course of this 12th and final parak of the Masechta. The Torah dictates that if you see a mother bird nesting on top of its chicks or on its eggs, so you have to send away the mother bird. Since the beginning of the parak, short parak, four blad of Gemara. So we've gone over numerous basic issues regarding the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. Whether or not the bird has to be kosher, the chicks have to be kosher, they both have to be kosher, what if one of them is a treifa, and a number of basic issues. Recently we discussed the issue of Malkus, whether or not one's going to be subject to lashes for violating the issue in the Torah. Torah says don't take the mother bird for yourself. That's a lav in the Torah. You're going to get malchus for that. It's a machlokus in the Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. We spent yesterday discussing, analyzing something of that mitzvah. And so now some very simple and straightforward questions of the Gemara. The Ad Kama Mishalcha. So the first question the Gemara is asking, it's less than halfway down the Amud. First words on the line is Ad Demalkin Leg. And so the Gemara's question is, how far do you have to send her away? Meaning the Torah says send her away. What does that mean? Different area code, different zip code. Not clear in the Torah. What's also not clear is the Gemara's question over here when the Gemara is asking, Ad kama mishalcha, how far do you send her away? There's a really interesting Rashi, short Rashi. Very interesting. Rashi says, im not la, if you end up taking it. In other words, sounds like from Rashi that if you took it for yourself and violated the law in the Torah, so now you're going to have to send her even further away. That could be a simple reading of the Rashi. Could be. But anyway, that sounds like the Gemara's question. So how far do you send her away? So the Gemara says, Kadesh Teitze Mitachas Yado, until you can no longer reach her. So and once you can no longer reach her, now she's properly been sent away, right, out of arm's length. And interesting, Rashi writes, and at that, from that point going forward, now you know what you can do with the mother. Now you can take her. Rashi, shetetze mitachas yadov imach lachzor latovso mutter. So the and at that point in time, now you want to take her. So now you may, meaning once you're mishalech, once you send away the mother bird, so now you're not banned from her, you're not barred from her. So as long as you send her away the requisite amount, so then you can go ahead and you can take her. The next question, the Gemara ad kama mishalcha. I'm sorry, bameh mishalcha. Now, this question of the Gemara is a little bit tricky in terms of how to read it. Bameh mishalcha, and how do you send her away? Now, how do you send her away? With what do you send her away? So it is not perfectly clear exactly what the Gemara is asking. Now, I know what the opinions are coming up, so we can almost kind of like work backwards. Like we could see the opinions and then see what the question exactly was. So let's do that. So Rav Huna Amar Biraglav, Rav Yehuda Amar Be'agapeh. So Rav Huna says with her feet, and Rav Yehuda says with her wings. Now Rav Huna Amar Biraglav, now Rav Huna says he sends her away with her feet because Tichsiv Meshachei Regla Shor V'Chamor. On one hand, the Pasuk says that how do you send away animals? So the Pasuk in Yishayahu describes how you send them away on foot. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda Amar Be'agpeh, Rav Yehuda says you have to do with the wings, the ha. The wings is because that's how the bird travels. Meaning, yes, it's true, the bird travels on foot, but at the same time, however, her wings are also basically her means of transportation. And so therefore, you have to send her away by her wings. Okay, good. So do we really understand what the question and what the answer was? Not 100%. Meaning, the Gemara's question is, and with what do you send her away? With her legs or with her wings? Okay, so what are some possibilities in terms of what the question actually was? So Rashi suggests that, well, maybe the question was, when you take the bird, do you take him by the foot or do you take him by the wing? Meaning what the Gemara could mean is that when sending her away, you have to actually pick up the bird, which, quite frankly, none of us are really that interested in doing, and you pick her up by your leg or do you pick her up by your wings? That could be the Gemara's question. But after Rashi cites as a possibility, Rashi says, I really don't think that's a pshat. So Rashi writes as follows. Rashi in the middle of the Dibra Maskel Meshachei Regel, about five lines down, Rashi writes, Uchimadum Ali Dahachi Kama Revuna. Amar Beregel, Shim Talosh Gapa Vishacha Niftar Mimitzvah Shiluach, Kevashacha Beis Psiosu Gimel. Umutalach Zolotovsa. So what Rashi suggests now is what he is, what is the preferred shot in the Gemara for him is the following. What needs to be intact in order for you to properly send her away? Meaning, according, there are two opinions over here. One, the first one is Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says the most important thing in terms of sending her away is that her feet have to be intact. Meaning she has to have functional feet that walk. And once she takes two or three steps, so at that point in time, she was sent away. And that means, according to Rav Huna, even if, let's say, her wings are clipped. Okay, that's fine. So, but as long as you send her away by foot, so that's considered being sent away. Rav Yehuda Amar Begapa, Shetucho La'of Kedarka. And what Rav Yehuda is saying is no. What is the most significant part about sending her away is that she has functional wings. If she does not have functional wings, and the Gemara in a moment is going to be talking about a bird that has clipped wings. If she does not have functional wings and then you send her away, so that is not sending her away. Because her wings are basically her means of transportation. Now, a bird can walk on their feet, but that's not their primary means of transportation. And so therefore Rashi, the way he understands the Gemara, is that what you need to do is send her away based on the primary means of transportation, meaning that the bird has to have functional wings. And Rashi points out that this seemingly is the better pshat in the Gemara, the correct pshat in the Gemara, based on the story upcoming. Now Rashi makes that point, and we're going to just go right back to the Gemara and see the story. Hahu diganzi l'gapa v'shalcha. So there was a person who clipped the wings of a bird and then sent the bird away. V'achar kach tafsa. And then afterwards grabbed the bird. Meaning he felt like he did the proper mitzvah shiloach. Meaning prior shiloach, you can't take the bird. The bird's usher to you. After shiloach, now you can go ahead and you can take the bird. He clipped the wings and then sent the bird away. And it's funny. In other words, I totally understand the person's motivation. Meaning if I don't clip the wings and then I send away the mother bird, I'm not going to get it back. Oh, okay, good. So I'll do the following maneuver. I'll clip the wings. I'll send away the mother bird. The bird's now going to have to walk on foot. Now I can catch up with it. Now I can get it. Okay, good. Brilliant. And Rav Yehuda says, no, that wasn't brilliant. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah. You violated the law in the Torah. And Nagde Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda got this guy and Rav Yehuda gave him Malkus for violating the law in the Torah because he didn't send away the mother bird. So effectively what he did is he took a bird. He took a bird that needed shiluach, didn't receive shiluach, and so Rav Yehuda gave Malkus. Amalei zil rabbi legadfei v'shalcha. So, and Rav Yehuda says, now here's what you can do. He clipped the wings, so he said basically let the wings grow back, which they do, and then go ahead and send the mother bird away, and then we're all good. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. All this was a little bit confusing because what Rav Yehuda did, Rav Yehuda the Amora, what Rav Yehuda did is he gave him lashes and he told him, now go rectify and correct your mistake. Now, the Gemara is about to ask, well, which position is he following? As we learned in yesterday's daf, a machlokus, a basic machlokus, in terms of whether or not you're going to getting malchus for shiluach hakein. And that was a machlokus between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. And seemingly the Amora Rav Yehuda is subscribing to the Tana Rav Yehuda. The problem, of course, with that is, aside from the fact that the Shitas Yachid to Das Yachid, is that, and then he's also telling him to rectify his mistake, right? So, Lav Sheish Ba Maisa. So, come on, Ika Rav Yehuda Loka V'ein Mishaleach. According to Rav Yehuda, we don't put this under the category of Lav Adin Takla Seh. And you remember, as we learned in yesterday's stuff, the reason why is because according to Rav Yehuda, the Asay of the Torah of Shalech to Shalach is not coming to rectify the Lav of the Torah, but rather it's there from the very beginning. The moment you approach an Esther, you have a mitzvah, essay, a positive commandment of sending away the mother bird. And you didn't do that. So according to Rav Yehuda, this essay is not there to rectify the lav, but there from the point of origination. If that's true, according to Rav Yehuda, you're going to get Malkus, but that's it. There's no rectification. And Ikurabanan, Mishalech Ve'en Loka. And now let's consider, if the Amor Rav Yehuda is following the opinion of the Chachamim, so then there's no room for Malkus. Because the assay is there to be menatek to correct the lav. So fine. So in other words, so you understand Rav Yehuda's ruling of let the wings grow back and then send it away. Good, so you could rectify the mistake you did. But you don't get Malkus. So the Gemara says, Lalam Karabanam Malkus Mardus Midarabanam. Excuse me. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we could suggest. That really Rav Yehuda follows like the Chachamim, which of course makes sense. That's the Das Harabim. And the lav is there, sorry. The assay is there to be menatek the lav. Good, so you rectify your mistake. I'm a malchus, So that's Makos Midrabanan. Makos Midrabanan for violating the Isser of the Torah, even though it's a Lav She'in Bo Maisa.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Even though it's a Lav Ani Taklase. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Danny.
We cannot lose the opportunity for the Mitzvah because it's considered Gazela, and he did a Shinui by cutting the wings. So it's like he owns it now.
In other words, how could he? That's an excellent question. Right? How could he clip the wings? Right, and it still be under the category of a Eino Mezuman, right? Ki Kare. That's a wonderful question. So
he's saying that because of the Shinui is acquiring.
We're saying the same thing, right? Wonderful.
It's not a permanent Shinui. That's the thing.
It could grow back. Okay, it's a good question. How would the Asul come to Rav Amalei Tima Mahu? A person goes to Rava and asks him a question regarding Shiloh HaKain, right? And he's asking about the bird, the Tima bird. You know the Tima bird. Well, I don't. But it doesn't matter. In other words, it's a type of bird. And Amrle lo yada haigavra da'of tower, chayv l'sholcho. So, and now Rava's wondering to himself, like, what is he asking me? Meaning, first of all, the Tima bird is a kosher bird. Everyone knows that. Now, again, I never heard of the bird before, but that doesn't matter. And the Bizman Rava, this was a popular bird, and everyone knew it. So is that the question he's asking me? It can't be. Meaning that's basic. Everybody knows that the team is kosher bird. And obviously for a kosher bird, with chicks or eggs that obviously are also kosher, so of course there'll be a mitzvah. So Amalei Demachada Be'isa Hu Deramya. And now he says to him, well, maybe there was one egg or one chick in the nest, and maybe that was his question. Amalei Hayadalach Masisan He. Ein Sham Alafroch Achara Beitza Achaz Chayiv L'Shaleach. So he says, well, that's also not much of a shayla, that's a Mishnah, the Farish Mishnah. Mishnah tells us that with one chick or one egg, there's still going to be a mitzvah shiluach haken. So, shalcha. So he says to him, okay, so at this point in time, you send away the mother bird, meaning kosher bird, one chick or one egg, so there's a mitzvah. Ve'ahada la'rava parsakte v'tafsa. Now Rava said, what a great opportunity. Meaning now that this mother bird is being sent away, so now I can have dinner tonight. Meaning I'll set up a net and I'll trap the mother bird. And because remember, once the mother bird is sent away, the mitzvah's been done. And so therefore, anyone who wants to get their hands on the bird can do so. So the Gemara says, V'lecho shechashada. Now, basically, the Gemara says, isn't this inside trading? Because now Rava got benefit from a bird which he knew was going to be released based on a psak that he received. And can't you make the argument that this is suspicious activity, and even though the Gemara is not for a moment challenging the integrity of Rava, but still, a Rav should be above any kind of suspicion. And so, isn't this insider trading? So the Gemara says, Kalachriya. So the Gemara says, well, what Rava did is he set up the traps very discreetly, and he made sure that nobody knew about it. Okay. Rava didn't live in our day and age where everybody knows everything at any given point in time. Anyway, Tana Rabbanan. Yoni Shavach v'Yoni Aliyah. Okay, so you have a bird nest, not a bird cage, and we're talking about outside in your orchard, and you have a birdhouse, and birds come there all the time. This is what's referred to as Yoni Shavach and Yoni Aliyah. So now, really, there's a very basic issue, and that is ownership of these birds. Are you the owners of these birds? Now, fundamentally, the answer is no. Fundamentally. Because you just simply have a birdhouse, and birds fly in and out of your property all the time. And so, okay, good. So they're in your birdhouse right now, but you didn't do anything that acquired them on your behalf. You want to argue it's your chatzar, it's your property, and your chatzar is kona for you? Yeah, that's true, but as we're going to learn in just a moment, your chatzar is going to be kona for you in a scenario where you're kona for yourself. A bird that can at any point in time is a flight risk, and I mean that literally. So anytime that the bird serves as a flight risk, so then you didn't acquire the bird, and then your chatzar can't be any better than you, and your chatzar doesn't acquire the bird as well. Okay? Now, all that's true. Now, just a little bit of background. This goes back to what we learned in Gittin in the fifth parak. Even though the bird is not yours, but look, it's sitting on your property, and if you are quick enough, you can easily capture it. So the bird is, at least on a rabbinic level, going to be considered yours. Meaning, let's put it this way. If somebody else walks onto your property, goes into your birdhouse and takes that bird, so even though mi ikar hadin, he's not stealing, but there's something called darchei shalom. And darchei shalom basically is that the chachamim made a couple of institutions to promote the peace. If somebody walked onto my property and took a bird that was in my birdhouse. So one can easily imagine, I'm going to look at that guy, I'm going to be, get off my property, get your hands off my bird, and if you don't do so it's just going to go from bad to even worse. And so what the Chachamim instituted are these institutions of what's called Darchei Shalom. It's basically a promotion of peace. And so therefore, midrabanan, these birds do effectively belong to me. Okay, now with all that as introduction, as a background, so now let's consider. You have a bird on your birdhouse, in your property, and is there a mitzvah of shiluach hakein? And she's nesting on top of the eggs, so do you send her away? So the Braisa starts off with a very clear and decisive ruling. Chayavos b'shiluach. Yeah, you send them away, meaning there's an opportunity for shiluach. Now remember, rule number one that we learned in regarding shiluach hakein, ki yikarei kansi pola fanecha. It has to be that it was no owner of this item. So okay, so me'ikar hadin, there is no owner of these birds. However, asurus mishum gezel mimnei darchei shalom. And then the Braisa says that there is a gezel prohibition because of darchei shalom, as I explained just moments earlier. To which the Gemara says, now if you think about it, wait one second. V'isa lahad amr of Yosef Reb Chanin chatzir shaladim konalo shalomidato. Now the Gemara says, now let's consider the following. Now Rashi points out the Gemara is asking this question, right? The anonymous editors of the Gemara. They're not anonymous, but the Gemara is formulating this question. Let's say we subscribe to the opinion of Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina. Now, this is an opinion that has gone over many times throughout Shas, right? Bab Metzia a bunch of times, Bab Kama. So let's say we subscribe to his viewpoint. What is his viewpoint? Your chatzah can serve as a means of acquisition for you, even without your das. Meaning, assuming it's an item that is a benefit to you, and the item now is in your property, so your property can acquire on your behalf. Good. If we subscribe to that viewpoint, so kari kan ki kare prala mazuman. So that means to say now that the bird belongs to you, they're your birds, and so therefore no longer subject to the mitzvah shiluach hakein. To which the Gemara says, Amarav, beitza im yitzias ruba hu di ichai b'shiluach, mikna lokani ad di tipo l'chatzera. So the Gemara now offers one possible suggestion. Well, maybe, let's separate over here our two issues. One issue is the mitzvah shiluach hakein, and the second issue is ownership of the egg that is now going to be dropped onto your chatzer. So maybe we can make the following argument. When I say maybe, Rav or Rava, depending on the gear, so makes the following argument. When it comes to the egg, so when exactly does the mitzvah of shiluach hakein start? Now, if you would have asked me before I read the Gemara inside, I would have said the egg's got to drop. Meaning, and the mother now is sitting on the egg. So egg and mother are totally separate. The argument that Rav is going to make now is that maybe a little bit beforehand. Maybe as long as the majority of the egg now has left the mother, so I guess we'll use the expression ruba kakulo, and so that means to say now that at this point in time, the mitzvah of shiluach has now begun. What about ownership? Ownership does not occur until it actually physically falls into the chatzer. This is what the Gemara now is going to try to argue. So if we could freeze frame the moment of the majority of the egg now having emerged from the mother, so there is a mitzvah shiluach hakan because your chatzer hasn't acquired it as of yet. And so the mitzvah shiluach is when specifically the majority of the egg has left the mother, and so therefore you have the mitzvah, not even though, because there's no kinyan as of yet. So the Gemara says, Eden afik e'i hachi amai surus mishum gezo. So the Gemara says, okay, so if you haven't acquired them yet, you know the Braisa at the end said, and it's subject to Gezela. Now, what's subject to Gezela? Presumably the egg, but you haven't acquired it yet. So the Gemara says, ah, imam. Oh, right, correct. So it's not that the egg is subject to Gezela. The mother bird that is currently resting in your property, that's subject to Gezela. Okay, so that is right now approach number one of the Braisa. It's a really tricky approach because it only gives a very short window of opportunity where there would be a mitzvah of shiluach, and at the same time there would be a gzela prohibition, but not on the egg, only on the mother. Okay. Ibai same of the Gemara suggests another answer, and that's la'olam ha-beitza. Now really we're talking about the egg, u'beitza came into nafik le'ruba, daita aleha. So, and once the majority of the egg has come out, so now you're thinking to yourself, okay, the majority has come out, this egg is going to drop on my property, at this point in time it's mine. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's think about it. So now we have a mitzvah opportunity of Shiluach HaKein. And even though the egg now belongs to you, but let's consider the following. You can't take the egg until you send away the mother bird. Right? The sending away of the mother bird is a prerequisite for you being able to take the egg. Prior to that, it is prohibited for you to take the egg. So afilo tema, afagav de nafla chatzer, kol hechadi yu matzi zache, chatzer nami zache. V'chol hechadi yu lo matzi zache, chatzer nami lo zachilei. So the Gemara basically comes out to the following brilliant deduction. Because now of the prohibition that you can't take the egg before you send away the mother bird, so let's say the egg drops. The egg drops into your property. And let's subscribe to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, which is that your property can acquire on your behalf even without your intent. All that's true. I could still now formulate how it is that you haven't acquired the egg. Why? How can I formulate that? Because your chaser can't be any better than you. You right now currently can't pick up the egg. Why? Because we still have the mitzvah of shiluach. We have to send away the mother bird. Prior to doing so, there is an isser for me to take the egg. And so that means that I can't physically take, I mean, I could physically do it, but halachically, I don't have the right to take that egg as of yet. My chatzar is no better than me. If I can make an acquisition on the egg, my chatzar can't do so as well. So, So the Gemara says, now, the prohibition of, you can't take it because of darchi shalom. Now, what is that? Well, if I sent away the mother bird, so then that egg is fully under my domain, and it's fully in my possession. And so now we're not talking about Darche Shalom, some sort of rabbinic institution. We're talking now about an egg that is sitting on my property. That is 100% mine. Anyone who comes and takes it is 100% Taganov. And Idelo Shalcha Shluchei Baye. And if I didn't send away the mother bird, so I have to do so. And that means I haven't acquired as of yet. So basically now that we've come to this deduction, that there is a point in time where the egg drops and still there's a mitzvah of shiluach and there is going to be an issur of gzela, what the Gemara says is that, I don't understand, how is it that we are existing in this world of darchei shalom? So the Gemara suggests, oh, I see, we're talking about bekatan. We're talking about the one who took it is in fact a katan. And when we say took it, we mean took away the mother bird. So the Gemara says, katan, bar Darche Shalom hu? Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Darche Shalom is a rabbinic institution that is there to try to prevent people from fighting with one another. Now this rabbinic institution is on adults, not children. So over here, the Bryce is saying that, oh, he's violating the Isra of Darche Shalom. If the heed now is under discussion as a child, as a minor, so there is no violation of Darche Shalom, he's a minor. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar avishol katan chayv la'achzir lo mimnei darchei shalom." So really interesting. The Gemara says over here that it's true. The minor didn't violate the Isur of darchei shalom. The minor is not subject to the Isurim of the Torah nor the Isurim of the Chachamim. That part's true. But once the parent realizes, what did my kid do? Oh, my kid went into someone else's property and took an egg, or took a bird, and shouldn't have done that. And so it is now becomes my parental responsibility to take the bird out of my kid's hand and return it back to the owner. So granted that the child did not violate the Isra of Darche Shalom, but the parent of the child did in fact violate the Isra of Darche Shalom. Levi Bar Simon Akne Peros Shavcho.
How did you do that again?
Oh, what?
How did the parent do How did you do that?
If the parent is seeing the kid going to someone else's property and takes something from somebody else's property, it becomes the parent's responsibility to have the kid, or he himself, return the item.
So if he returns, it's the Darche Shalom. If he doesn't return
it, so then he, the parent, is in violation of Darche Shalom. Levi Bisarmon, Ikne Peres, Shovcho, LeRav Yehuda. The Gemara tells a story where Levi Bisarmon acquired the nest of Rav Yehuda. And now also come into Shmuel Amarle, Zil Trof Akein, De Lis Gabaihu Vekaninu. Now, I want to acquire the eggs, but here comes now the problem. The problem is that right now the mother is currently sitting on the eggs, and as we already described now a couple of times, prior to the mother leaving that nest, so there's an issur for me to take that eggs, and if there's an issur for me to take those eggs, so then I can't make a kinyan on those eggs as of yet. So suggestion was, go bang on the nest and have the bird now fly away, and now you can make him a kinyan. So the Gemara says, Lamai. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Ila mikne liknenule besudar. So the Gemara says, wait one second. If the question is how to acquire the eggs, well, why don't we just do a standard kinyan in terms of acquisition? Do a kinyan sudar. Kinyan sudar is a very simple and halachically valid way of making an acquisition. We'll pick up something of representative value, and we'll hand it from one to the other. The Gemara and Bava Metzia has a debate: who hands it to who? Buyer hands it to seller, vice versa. But regardless, kinyan sudar is a way of creating a transaction.
But who's selling the bird?
The eggs in the
who's
nest.
Selling the eggs.
Levi is making a kinyan on the eggs.
But who is he?
He's trying to buy it from Rav Yehuda. And they want to know how to make the acquisition. Let's go step by step. So he says, okay, so if we're talking about making a kinyan, so then just do kinyan sudar. Nibi yom tov. So the Gemara says, now, maybe the issue is as follows. Well, what we can't do is that we can't pick up the bird. Or, I'm sorry, we can't pick up the egg on yontif, meaning we're describing a scenario where we're going into yontif, and we can't pick up the egg on yontif because it's muksa. Because if a egg was in a nest going into yontif, or a chick is in a nest going into yontif, so isn't there a muksa consideration? To which the Gemara says, and we're going back to towards the beginning of the Masechta Beitza, so ba'omeid ve'omer zev ze'ani notel, saga. There is a machlok between Beit Sham and Beit Hillel how to take a chick or an egg and move it from a state of muksa to a state of muchan. So Beit Sham says you have to actually pick up the chicken, and he describes over there a little bit of shaking, but the halacha falls like Beit Hillel, which is just simply stand there and point. That's the egg I plan on using for yontiv, and that already moves it from a state of muksa to a state of muchan. So hanu peri chadeti havu de levi bar siman gufei lo hava kanile v'achi kamerle zilva tarfa kandelis kamer v'nikninu levi bar siman v'hadu lignin ne'alech besudar. So the Gemara says, okay, so the issue isn't over here how to acquire movable property, because we know, kinyan sudar. And the issue over here is not muksa, because once again, we pass like Beis Hillel, just simply point to the ones you plan on using for yontiv, and that would be fine as well. The issue is, now, it's funny, we knew the answer because the Gemara is putting this question in our context of Shiluach HaKain. So we already knew the answer because we were in the right frame of mind. We're in the right context. And that, of course, is that the mother's been sitting on the egg from the time that the egg has been hatched, has been laid. And so therefore, the thing that's preventing the kinyan is the fact that the mother now is on the egg. And this is now an issue of Shiluach HaKain, meaning prior to the sending away the mother bird, one is not allowed to take the chicks or take the eggs. And so that was the preventative issue that prevented the kinyan from occurring. So the advice was very simple. Send away the mother bird, and now you can go ahead and take the eggs. Okay. We're up to the last Mishnah of our Perek and the last Mishnah of the Masechta. Lo yitol adam aim al habanim afilo taras ha-metzora. Okay, so let's say there's a really good reason why I need the mother bird right now. Really good reason, taras ha-metzora. Now, I know we discussed this previously. We discussed it in the Gemara previously. This is now the Mishnah giving us the ruling. And what would be a good reason? Let's say, for example, taras ha-metzora. So the Mitzora purification process starts with two birds. So I need two birds. Oh, there's one right there on the nest, sitting on her chicks or on her eggs. Oh, yeah, but wait one second. The Torah says send her away. Okay, so which one takes priority? So I know we already knew the answer, but here the Mishnah says the mitzvah of Shiluach takes priority. Uma im mitzvah kalashi ki yisar amra Torah laman yitavlach v'rach liyamim kavachamra al mitzvah schamur shebetorah. Now this is a really easy mitzvah. The Gemara puts it in financial terms. It's afilu, I'm sorry, uma im mitzvah kalashi ki yisar. Now ki yisar means a small amount of money. Small amount of money, meaning what is the financial cost of doing this mitzvah? It's a funny question. Financial cost of doing this mitzvah presumably is you're going to lose the mother bird, right? Assuming that once you send her away, she's not going to come back, and so you lost that. But still, you don't have to buy anything. In other words, it's really only, if anything, it's only a potential loss, meaning that bird didn't belong to you.
What if you don't want the eggs? Can you just take your mother without having worried shulach
hakeim? Yeah, that's a great question. The Gemara does not discuss that question.
Assuming that you want the eggs, and that's why it's saying you have to send the mother away. But if you just want the mother,
right? Or more often the case, you just want the mitzvah.
But I mean, in this case, for this, the mitzvah, you just want the bird. You don't want the eggs.
Right.
So.
Right. You're asking the right question. Lengthy discussion. So if there are mitzvahs that do take effort and energy, as we're entering into Pesach, so I can identify. I figured out which mitzvah takes effort and energy. So imagine the kind of schar that one's going to receive for doing a mitzvah that is time-consuming and a much more engaging mitzvah, so to say. Time to be Rabbi Yaakov Omer. Ein lecha kol mitzvah mitzvah shebetorah sheman tzchiran b'tzida she'ein tchiyas ha'meisim tuli abam. There's no mitzvah in the Torah where the reward is put there. In other words, the Torah does not often say, and you're going to get rewarded for doing this mitzvah. It's understood, but the Torah doesn't often say it. But the Torah does say it on occasion, and one of those occasions is a mitzvah shiloh hakein. As is also the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. There are a couple of other mitzvahs as well, where the Torah says, l'man yitav lach, that's going to be good for you. And the Beit Rav Yaakov teaches us that that this is connected to Tchiyas HaMeisim. Now, the connection to Tchiyas HaMeisim, Rashi points out over here, Kigon Kibra Ve'eim V'Shiloch HaKein Shlo Tuchel LaHavin Mamtein Mimatan Tzchara She'asidan HaMeisim LaHachayos. Meaning, what the Gemara means by that is that we're not going to be rewarded for these mitzvahs here and now. The reward for this is going to be in the future. After experiencing Misa and after experiencing Tchiyas HaMeisim, so we're all going to be benefiting and receiving the reward of these mitzvahs that we do. Now, b'kivra aveim k'siv l'man yarichun yamecha l'man yitav lach. B'shiluach ha'kein kasov l'man yitav lach v'rachli amim. So you have mitzvahs like kivra aveim and like shiluach ha'kein. What the Torah says is that you're going to have good days and long days. Harish amr lo aviv alei labira v'haveli gozlos v'alei v'shalach esayim v'lakach esabanim v'chazer asor nafal ameis. So let's say, for example, that the father instructs the sons to climb up a tree, go get the, send away the mother bird to go get the chicks, and come down from the ladder. And as he's coming down from the ladder, the child falls and dies. Tragedy, obviously, tragedy. Now let me ask you a question: what about all those promises in the Torah of Arichas Yamim? Now, right now, the Gemara is discussing this in the theoretical, and it's possible, meaning it can happen, meaning life is full of risks and these things happen. I, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and good. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is an infinite entity, an infinite being, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu understands that these, to us, which seems like tragedies, these are all part of the divine plan. But that's fine. But what about all the promises in the Torah? So the Gemara says, Heichan arichas yamim sholzeh, veheichan tavas sholzeh. El aman yarichun yamecha balam shekula aruch, olaman yitav lach lalam shekula tov. The Torah is not describing the reward that we're receiving here and now. Here and now, we're just doing mitzvahs where we're building up credit for the reward that we're going to receive. Any reward that's promised is for Tchias HaMeisim, meaning it's for the future. It's for a time where there's going to be Kulo Tov, which is not now. The Gemara says, now wait, maybe you'll tell me, well, maybe the question is based on a false premise. Maybe there is no way that a child being instructed by his father to climb a tree to do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, doing two mitzvahs, maybe it won't happen that he's going to die. So Rav Yaakov Maisa Chaza. So the Gemara says, no, it does happen. In other words, the question is a good question because it can in fact happen. Rav Yaakov in fact saw such an event occur. V'dilma mahar ba'avei rahava. The Gemara says, wait one second. Who are we to judge? Maybe at the time when the child was climbing up the ladder, maybe he was thinking about an avera. So Machshava Rayin, Akash Baruch Hu Mitzarfa L'maisa. The Gemara says, okay, so it's a thought. So Akash Baruch Hu does not hold you accountable for a thought. Akash Baruch Hu holds you accountable for doing an action. And I'll also add, by the way, feeding the thought. But, in other words, but just for a thought in of itself, so there's nothing. V'duma mahar ba'avodah zara hava dechsi laman tfos es beis Yisrael b'libam. So the Gemara says, you know, thinking about avodah zara, for that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds us accountable. We're very lucky that the yetzer hara for avodah zara has been taken away. So most of us do not spend time about thinking about how we're going to worship that idol. So we are safe from this. And the Gemara says that Avodah Zarah is so serious that you are held accountable for that. So Hachi Kamar, he misa diikas chay mitzvah b'hayama, tahani lei v'tagena lehada lo laisi lei dehirer. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's assume that the schar that the Torah describes is for this world. If you're going to be receiving reward in this world for the mitzvahs that we do, and specifically for the mitzvah of Kibbut Av HaEm and the mitzvah Shiloh HaKein, so then that means as follows. As you are ascending the tree, listening to your father, and doing the mitzvah Shiloh HaKein, so the schar mitzvah should protect you from any kind of hirurim. And so therefore there would be no hirurim, and so therefore it shouldn't happen that the child should fall to his death. By virtue of the fact that the child does in fact fall to the death, means that there is no schar in this world, in our first go-around in this world. El schar mitzvah b'hayam aleka. Good. So there's no schar mitzvah in this world. V'hamar av alaz v'shukhe mitzvah in nizakin. So the Gemara says, well, the child right now is en route to doing a mitzvah. And don't we have a rule that shluchim mitzvah is afforded divine protection? So Shani. So the Gemara says, well, he didn't fall while going up the ladder, he fell while coming down the ladder. So the Gemara says, V'amar Rebbe Laz v'shukhim mitzvah nizakin lo b'alechasam v'lo b'chazar asan. So the Gemara says, okay, but aren't you afforded protection both on your way there and even on your way back as well? So the Gemara says, Sulam Ru'uhava. So this particular incident involved a ladder that was not sturdy, and Umakam de Kavu Ezekashani. And although doing a mitzvah, both going and on the return, provides divine protection, but limited divine protection, you are not going to be held responsible, you're not going to be afforded the protection in the event that you're going into a very dangerous situation. If you're going to a blatantly dangerous situation, so you are not provided this protection. Dechsiv, v'yom shmol ech eilech v'sham ashal v'hageni. David asked the question, well, how can I go? Shmuel says, how can I go and anoint David when Shaul hears about this, he's going to kill me? Well, this was instructions given to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you are doing a mitzvah and given instructions by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mitzvah, that's the very definition of a mitzvah, so then, of course, he should be afforded divine protection. And meanwhile, he turns around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, well, you know, Shaul hears this and he's going to kill me. And what about divine protection? And the answer is that this is obviously Hezek HaNikar, meaning this is obviously a blatantly dangerous situation, and you can't go in saying, oh, don't worry, I'm doing a mitzvah, and therefore I'm going to be protected.
Moshe Rabbeinu going back to Mitzrayim with his wife and the Melech was allowed to kill him.
You're right, right.
That's another example he was on his way.
I saw by Yosef and the brothers, meaning Yosef was sent to go see how the brothers are doing, and he was told by his father to do so. So that's a mitzvah of Kibbut Av HaEm. And meanwhile, that didn't protect him. Right? So the I think it's a nitziv. Hopefully I'm giving the right credit. But he says, if you look at Rashi over there, Rashi says that he went to Hebron. He went to Shechem. And if you look at Rashi over there in Chumash, Rashi says, and Shechem is a really bad place. So many bad things happen in Shechem. And so why is Rashi giving us like a history of Shechem? So Rashi says because going to Shechem, it was such a dangerous situation that even though he was given instructions by his father, but still that was like the rickety ladder, meaning it's such a dangerous situation. Ilmale, Amar of Yosef Ilmale, Dashi Acher, Lahaikra, Kerebi Yaakov, Barbarte, Lochata. Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, right, discussed extensively in the Gemara and Chagiga. If he would have just understood what we learned together right now, so he wouldn't have went off the derech. So famously, Acher went off the derech, right? One of the four who went into Pardes, and again, without going into great detail right now, so we know that he left the reservation. So, and if he would have understood the psukim the way we understood it, so then he never would have gotten to that point. My chaza, so he gets Amar ki I maisa chaza. So some are of the opinion that what he saw is exactly what we just described. Right, a father instructing a child to go up the ladder and to go get chase away the mother bird in order to do the mitzvah Shiloh HaKein. Two mitzvahs where the Torah promises that there's going to be Arichus Yamim, and then the child fell and died, and Acher saw all this, and Acher said, well, I guess that's that for the Torah. And so he went off the derech. But if he understood that whatever the Torah is promising is not for this world, but lost at Lavo, so then he'd understand that, oh, that promise isn't for now, and there was no reason to leave the Derech.
Acher, being a sage, didn't know that.
He didn't darshan the Pesukim that way. Now, Acher being a sage meant that he knew the Pesukim, but he didn't understand it the way we're understanding it right now. Okay. That's one possibility. There's another possibility as well. We'll save this other possibility for tomorrow when we conclude the Masechta. I invite everybody to join me. I think there'll be a couple of other people there as well.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. So after the 7:45 minyan, so we'll be making a siam right here in the shul.
Around 8:15.
Around 8:15.